everyone. This is Jeffrey Meldon welcoming you to a special edition of Law Talk Live. We're here at the studios at WSKY, and we welcome you to this edition. We've got, we're going to talk about how lawyers pick juries. It's an interesting question. We got a few things going on in the house. I'm here with my co-host, Carrie Meldon. How you doing this morning, Carrie?
Good morning. I just walked into the studios, so I appreciate you holding down the fort. I know we're moving forward, and it's early March, or I guess mid-March, past mid-March now. So we're looking forward to spring entering North Central Florida, and I'm excited about the Lady Gators are playing the NCAA tournament game today. So for those listeners out there, this is a huge game for the Lady Gators basketball team because they have not made the NCAA tournament since I can remember. It may be over 10, 15 years.
Long time.
So that's kind of exciting. They're playing UCF, the Knights, the Golden Knights.
Yeah, yeah. What is it, 3 o'clock this afternoon, I think they start. And Lady, couple other things. Carrie, what do you think about the hiring of Todd Golden as the new basketball coach for the men's team?
Well, obviously, I don't know very much about him. He was a coach out in San Francisco, so we didn't get to see him very often. And I didn't really watch many San Francisco games. I think I saw snippets of the first round game in which they lost to Murray State a couple days ago. But apparently he's young, he's organized, similar to Billy Napier, and he's a disciple of Bruce Pearl. So if you're if you're learning from Bruce Pearl, that's not a bad start with regards to recruiting and coaching. Bruce Pearl right now is on top of his game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they wanted to hire someone younger, and they did. He's 36 years old, which is 5 years older than Billy Donovan was when he was hired.
Right.
So, you know, the Gators are trying to build for the long term, and you can tell that both in the hiring Billy Napier and Todd Golden. So we'll see. The proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, I mean, the Gators missed the mark with Mike White this week. This year was tough to watch because there were 7 or 8 transfers that had come from other schools. And it's really hard to follow a team when you don't know who's on the team because they switch out to that often. So hopefully what Todd Golden will at least establish are individuals, young student athletes that want to come and play for the Gators and will stay here because they believe in the program, not just because they believe in themselves.
Well, we're excited. A lot of other things going on in Gator sports. The men's baseball team, top 10 team, won last night against Alabama. Barco pitched an incredible one-hitter through 8 innings. The final score was 6-4 Gators. However, the Gators men's team is excellent. The Lady Gators softball team won again. So they're riding high. And we've got a bunch of top 10 teams between baseball and softball. And, Kerry, you know, the biggest thing really going on is tonight at 8 p.m., I think it's on the SEC Network, the Lady Gator gymnastic team is in the SEC tournament. And we haven't won it since 2016, so we're number 2 in the country. And we should be able to do well if we stay on target and play and perform as they have. However, it's incredible. 4 of the top 6 teams in the country are in the SEC. So you're talking about top competition, and any failure by 2 or more gymnasts in any routine can spell doom for the whole event.
Exactly. Well, enough sports. Let's get into the law, since this is Law Talk Live. We always want to feature a certain topic every week. Starting this year, we've been this is kind of a new feature for us. And as Jeffrey said earlier, this week's question is how do lawyers pick juries? Obviously, most of the listeners out there have probably watched movies that include jury selections throughout the years. There's been plenty of movies. There's been obviously dramatized versions of jury trials, which aren't always a reality. And the answer to the question of how do lawyers pick juries is very differently. A lot of lawyers have different tactics and different objectives as to what they're looking for when they're picking a jury, depending on the type of trial, depending on the size of the jury, depending on the what the subject matter is. You know, what is the basis for the trial? So it's a really interesting question because the answers vary all over the place. But we'll try to give some insight today. Let me start with Jeffrey. He's been a trial lawyer for 50 years and has picked juries and has gone through it, you know, in his own experience. You know, Jeffrey, what are some of the things that you look at when you're picking a jury?
Well, first of all, Kerry, as you know, you really don't pick your jury. What you do is you go through a process of asking questions of jurors in order to get rid of the jurors that you think have a bias against your theme of the case. Mm-hmm. So you're trying, we call it, let's get rid of the bad jurors. The bad jurors, there's certain people that come in with preconceived notions about, for example, it's a personal injury case. There's some people that don't believe people should get money no matter how badly they're injured, even if they lost a limb, based on religious reasons. And you have to be aware of that, and you respect it. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinions. However, they may not be a good juror for that particular kind of case because of their preconceived notions.
Right. So even if, like, for example, let's just put an example out there. This, you know, if former President Trump is making great policy decisions that are working beautifully for the country, someone that's a progressive left winger will not agree with Donald Trump's policies, even if they're the perfect policies, because they have a bias against Donald Trump. Would that be fair to say?
Of course, yeah. Well, we're looking for bias, prejudice, whatever you want to call it. It's a preconceived notion as to the way the world works.
Right. So that's something that people bring with them into the courtroom, and you can't change that. Once someone feels something, if you're trying to change the way they feel, usually it doesn't work out too well.
You're on the short end of the stick.
All right, when we come back, we're going to finish up on how lawyers pick jury trials. Give us a call if you have any questions, 1-877-975-9825. That's 1-877-975-9825. We're here at Law Talk Live with Meldon Law.
Since 1971, Meldon Law has been dedicated to giving back to our community with programs like Law Talk Live on the Sky every Saturday at 10:30. You can also join our podcast, Meldon Law and Friends, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and 37 other audio platforms. Meldon Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. We're back on Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon. I want to give a shout out to the Cade Museum. We saw a presentation Tuesday night of the vision of the Cade Museum, and for those of you that have not been down there, you ought to go down and check it out. It's an amazing museum that celebrates invention. They came up with a word, inventicity or something like that. Anyhow, it has to do with being creative, and the museum is becoming a leader in around the country, and it's going to eventually around the world, in creating experiences for younger learners as well as older learners to encourage them to be inventors. Our country was really built on the invention. I don't know if you knew this, Kerry, but Article 1, Section 8 is the only section within the Constitution of the United States that gives a right to inventors to patent, copyright, trademark, and it's to a great extent credited with all of the Industrial Revolution inventions, which catapulted the United States into the greatest country in the world.
Right. It's an example of where capitalism is at its best, where you allow people to innovate and create and then give them some type of proprietary interest in it so they'll continue to do so. That's what the country's about, right?
Yeah, but not. It was a novel concept back then.
Right. So let's go back to the how do lawyers select jury selection. How do lawyers select juries during jury selection? So there's a couple fundamental principles in jury selection that most of our listeners may know about, but if not, I'm going to repeat them. One is that you have a right to a fair and impartial jury under the Bill of Rights. And so, Dad, what does that mean when you have a right to a fair and impartial jury?
Well, it doesn't mean much because the way we have our system set up, each side of the case, each, whether it's plaintiff lawyer, defense lawyer, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, are given a certain number of peremptory challenges that they can use to knock folks out, so long as it's not based on their race or any other motives. The allowed use of a peremptory challenge is for anyone who you don't think would be a good juror for the case. And there's a limited number, though. In misdemeanor cases, it's three. Sometimes in other cases, it's as many as six. But when you have a group of jurors, the potential jurors may be 80 or 100 jurors, and in complicated cases, it's not unusual to have 30 or 40 or 50 of those jurors struck for what we call cause, which does not require the use of the peremptory challenge.
Right. So the cause challenge is what a lawyer uses to try to eliminate a potential juror off the jury if they feel that that individual, and they can prove that that individual cannot be fair and impartial when viewing the facts of the case in light of the who the defendant and the plaintiff is. So, for example, if someone on the jury had a husband or wife that died from tobacco cancer or, you know, lung cancer, for example, they may not be a good juror for a tobacco trial case because they're going to have a bias and preconceived notions against the tobacco company if they felt like the cigarettes are what caused their significant other's death. So that person can be challenged usually for cause, meaning that the judge will remove that person from the potential jury without having to use one of the attorney's peremptory challenges. A peremptory challenge is a challenge in which an attorney can wipe anyone off the jury for any reason whatsoever, as long as it's not racially or gender-based. In other words, if they just have a bad suspicion that someone may not be right for the jury based upon the answers to the questions, they can move to strike them peremptorily, even if they don't say anything that would make them necessarily fair, unfair and not and partial.
Yeah. Now, remember, both sides are able to use these challenges. They're able to eliminate jurors that they think are not good for their case. So in a perfect world, and in many times the jury system works out this way, if you have two really good lawyers on each side, they're eliminating the jurors at the extremes, one side or another. And if you wind up with a jury of people that are in the middle, you're probably going to have a better shot at a more consistent, fair jury. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you have a really good point. And obviously, the peremptory challenges, just so that listeners out there know this, are limited. And the limitation of the peremptory challenges really makes them, it's very, very crucial to use them at the right time.
Yeah, because you don't want to be stuck with no peremptory challenges left, because sometimes the judge who decides whether or not it's a challenge for cause may not excuse a juror that you think is going to be fatal to your case. So you better have a peremptory challenge to use at the end.
So what's your favorite thing about juries, Dad, if you had to give just a general statement?
My favorite thing about juries, I think, is that the people that show up for the time they're in the box, they're really want to do the right thing for the most part. They're inconvenienced. They, a lot of times, they're thinking about what's going on at home or their job. Once they get into the box, I think they understand that it's almost like, you know, going into a religious place of worship, and the lawyers and the judges talk to them about it's a solemn duty. And in my experience, jurors do take it seriously.
I agree with you. They, the jurors, I've probably had 40 or 50 jury trials where I've had to have people inconvenienced to come, you know, listen to the jury trial. And the jurors that I've dealt with have always been, for the most part, very attentive. They ask questions. They don't fall asleep. They actually listen to the evidence, and then they render a verdict. So I have been fortunate to have a good experience with jury trials. I hope I continue to have a good experience with jury trials moving forward. One of the things I do love about the jury trials is that the juries, whatever the jury decides, is considered to be the final disposition of the case. In other words, it can't be appealed, especially on a criminal case. If a jury acquits someone of a crime, even if the prosecution tries to appeal it, saying the jury made the wrong decision, the Bill of Rights and the law has been that the jury's province cannot be challenged. So the jurors, the people out here listening who may not have any legal training at all, have more power than the judge and the parties and the lawyers in some respects when they render a verdict. And in civil cases involving money, there can be some appeals, but for the most part, if a jury has a legitimate basis to do what they want to do, it's going to be upheld. And so that's really cool because, you know, what you're having is two lawyers argue over the same set of facts, but they don't make the decision and the judge doesn't make the decision, hopefully, for the most part, unless the judge throws out the case. But what we want are six individuals, sometimes 12 on certain cases, but most juries are six individuals getting together and coming to a consensus and using their common sense, what they've learned in everyday life, what, you know, what they listen to, the law that they came into the courtroom not knowing, but they learn throughout the trial. So they come in like a blank slate. And to me, that's the purest form of justice because you don't have people that are necessarily as biased as the individuals inside the courtroom.
We're getting ready to take another break on Law Talk Live. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. However, since we first opened our doors in 1971, we've been your community partner as well. With over 600 scholarships awarded through our Meldon Law Scholar Athlete Program, as well as our Veterans Making a Difference initiative, Meldon Law now has offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. MeldonLaw.com, where we won't back down. We're back on Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon here with my co-host, Carrie Meldon. Carrie, we're talking about jury trials here. What are some of the wrap-ups as far as jury trials and how you can get a jury that's going to at least give you a fair shake in the case?
Do your homework. Have your questions written out ahead of time so you don't waste the jurors' time. Listen to the jurors. I mean, honestly, that's the one thing that lawyers don't do. If you watch them in court, they read their questions and then they just go to the next question. They don't listen to the answers. I learned when I was in law school 20 years ago that the biggest thing, the most crucial thing that a lawyer can do is listen to what the juror is saying, because you can ask follow-up questions based upon what the juror answers. And a lot of times the juror's insight will be really, it may be novel. It may be something that you didn't expect. It could be something that's really educational, and you can use that to educate the other jurors. So what I try to do is two things generally in every jury trial. I try to listen, and then I try to create electricity within the jury pool. So when I'm picking a jury, what I'll do is, let's say there's, 25 or 30 or 40 people in the jury, in the venire, which is the total amount of people to be selected for the actual jury panel, I'll start asking them to comment on each other's answers. So I'll say, you know, Miss Jackson, Miss Williams says that, you know, they could never find in favor of a plaintiff who sues over car accidents. Do you agree with Miss Williams? And then Miss Jackson would answer, either I do agree or I don't agree, and this is why. And then I'll ask, you know, Mr. Franken, do you agree with Miss Williams or Miss Jackson? And all of a sudden, what you do is you get the jurors discussing the topic within the jury pool. And what I've found is that it's a lot easier for people to talk amongst each other that are viewed as equals in the jury selection instead of talking to the judge or the lawyers who are dressed up in suits and just look like they're not very friendly to talk with. I mean, no one really wants to be questioned in front of other people because of public speaking. So if you can get the jurors to start talking within the jury pool to each other, then you may start to find out real insights as to how they feel. And the other thing is I tell the jurors all the time, I say, look, I don't care what you say. If you feel strongly about a topic, then just tell me. You know, I just want you to be honest with me. If you're not the right juror for this case, that's fine. You don't have to be on this case, but you have to be honest during the jury selection, because this is the opportunity to tell your truth and say how you feel. And then that way we can get closer to what the founding fathers have tried to write into the Bill of Rights, which is a fair and impartial trial. So really important to not judge people for their views, whatever they are, whether they're, you know, political views or religious views or whatever views they have, you know, they're entitled to those views. You can't judge people for how they feel. And I think that's a huge sickness in this country anyways, where we hate people simply because of who they are or what they feel instead of what they do and how they do things. You know, so that's kind of how I am trying to approach every jury selection is being open-minded. However, you know, I'm also going to ask uncomfortable questions sometimes. I try not to, but you have to do that in order to really get into the nitty gritty. So anyways, that's kind of a little bit, that's very, it's just the tip of the iceberg, but a little bit of what I'm looking at when I pick a jury.
Yeah, I think that you're right on, because you want to give people permission to express their opinions. You're not actually telling them that their opinions are good, bad, whatever. What you're trying to say is, based on your opinions, are you the best juror for this kind of case? You can keep an open mind, receive the evidence, and not be controlled by pre-existing concepts. And when you think about it, Carrie, it's somebody's held a belief for 25 years. In the period of one day, are they likely to give up that
belief?
Absolutely
not. Look, let's say I was on a jury pool, and the jury was about whether the Seminoles or the Gators were better, right? Let's just say that was the trial. No one's ever going to convince me that the Seminoles are better than the Gators, no matter how compelling their argument is. I'm always going to say the Gators are better than the Noles, and I'll figure out ways to support my argument because I'm right, right? So if I go into a trial, I'll have preconceived notions that the Gators are always going to be better than the Noles. And so it's a losing battle to try to argue with me, because I'm going to always be, you know, in with that mindset.
Correct. Do you ever use that argument in Gainesville?
No, I've never used that argument anywhere.
No, I mean, I like the Gators and Noles example, though.
Right. I mean, look, I just came up with it. I don't know. I was trying to think of something where I'm so biased that I can't keep an open mind, and I hate the Noles so much. I'm no offense to those listeners out there that may be Noles, but I just grew up in Gainesville that I can never be fair and impartial to the Seminoles. So if I ever have to be on a jury about Noles versus Gators, then I'm sure I'll get a challenge for cause.
I know. Many years ago when Kerry was younger, he saw a Noles license plate and kicked it because that's his strong bias against the Noles.
Right. Let's not dredge up the issues of my youth.
Statute of limitations there?
Statute ran out long time ago, thankfully. But yeah, I had such hatred for the Noles. It's not as bad as it used to be. I think I've grown out of it a little bit. But you know, my sister Jessica went to FSU. issue. So Jeffrey let her wander onto enemy territory. I don't know if I'll forgive him for that, but you know, we'll move forward.
No, she had a great time. I have great respect.
Sure, she had a great time.
Yeah.
It's FSU. It's pretty fun school. I mean, you don't do much learning. It's a lot of partying.
Carrie is being tough here, but we love I love my Seminole friends. I mean, at least they're good sports fans. So
I'll represent anybody if they're a Seminole fan. They're welcome to call Meldon Law. We represent Seminole fans absolutely 100%. At the end of the day, it's just a game, and like I said, I've grown out of the innate hatred that you have when you're very young. I remember when I was like, what was it? The choke at Doak, was that 94? When was it when we were up 31-3 with Spurrier, and then the Seminoles came back and scored four touchdowns in the fourth quarter? It was during Thanksgiving. I was at my grandfather on my mother's side's house. You were there, Dad, and I ended up punching a wall, and I think I broke a knuckle. I think I was 14 or 15. Yeah. It was, God, I couldn't believe it that we had blown a 28-point lead in the fourth quarter. But I think it was 1994, the choke at Doak. I must have been 16 or 15.
I was actually at the game, Carrie. I went with Buddy Hooten. We rented a big party bus, and I drove up to I-10. They were coming from Jacksonville, and we cruised across. Anyhow, that was heartbreaking. Tough breaking. So anyhow, we're getting ready to do a wrap on the show. There's a lot of great stuff going on next weekend. Meldon Law is giving away tickets to the LSU baseball game. It's going to be huge. So check us out at our Facebook page, Meldon Law, free tickets, and all of the sporting events, softball, baseball, whatever is going on in Gainesville, we're giving it away. We want to thank everybody who listened to Law Talk Live this edition, and we'll be back next week with a new edition of Law Talk Live, presented by Meldon Law. We'll be talking to you next week. Thank you for listening.
All right.
And what do we say at the end of every show?
Go Gators!
From the Meldon Law Studios.
Meldon Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators.
This is News Talk 97.3 The Sky.